Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And we are going to be in our community, but we're going to be talking about something that is near and dear to a lot of people in this area. And that is Lock and Dam Number 2, which is located in Hastings on the beautiful Mississippi River. And we are thrilled to have on the phone with us today the Lock and Dam Master of Lock and Dam Number 2, Brian Gray. And we are also joined by Project Manager Nick Castelline, and he is with the Army Corps of Engineers in the St. Paul District. So we are thrilled to have you both calling in today to tell us what's going on. How are you both?
Doing well, Mo. This is Brian. Getting through the COVID so far.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about that first, because I know that COVID certainly changed everybody's life, but I was shocked to hear that you actually had more tons of commodities passing through Lock and Dam Number 2 than your 10-year average, and quite a bit more. So I guess I was surprised by that, because I would have thought that the pandemic would have slowed, you know, your business down as well, but it didn't, huh?
Not really. I think what it did is it made us even busier, even with pleasure boats, because people could not gather in large groups, but as family units. And I believe, from what I've read and what I actually saw at Lock 2, is that pleasure boat traffic went up because families were buying boats and getting out on the river because they had nowhere else to go.
And I would assume that's probably going to continue for the upcoming season as well. So we're chatting in the month of January, and what does Lock and Dam Number 2 look like during this time frame? Is it pretty much frozen over? I haven't been down there for a while.
It's been somewhat mild. It's getting cold now, so it's creating more ice, but we actually have more open water than what we're used to. I would say it's about 80% covered in ice. We have a major project going on right now with a contractor, so we have a huge crane sitting in our lock chamber. So we're actually pretty busy at Lock and Dam 2 right now.
And what is this big project, please? Is that where we ask you, Nick?
Yeah, I can go forward with that. So what we're currently doing at Lock and Dam 2 is replacing the original anchorages that were on the lock when it was built almost 90 years ago. And what these anchorages do is they're the ones that actually secure the gate to the wall and allow it to open and close so that Brian and his team can let these boats and barges through.
So it's kind of an important part of the whole process, I would assume.
I would say it's extremely important. Yeah, if one of these anchorages fail or can't function properly, we're looking at a closure of the waterway.
So this has been going on since when, and how long will this project take, please?
So the project, it's started design about 2 years ago, and it's recently been contracted for this winter closure to start the work. And I believe they started, Brian can correct me if I'm wrong, but early November, and it's supposed to go until mid-March, right until the opening of the navigation season.
Well, that'll be great. And is this something that we as the public probably wouldn't even notice the difference, or will it be shiny, or is it underwater?
No, I wouldn't anticipate anybody would notice. Typically, the current anchorages are all encased within the wall and covered by grating, so they don't really see them anyway. And the new ones are similar in design, so they'll be covered with grating and kind of sitting in the wall, so people probably won't notice.
And Brian, I bet it's exciting to have something like this go on and then know that you're going to really be prepared for the new season. When does the new season start usually? Is it a fixed date? Does it go by what the river looks like? How does it work?
There is no fixed date. Typically, the average has been mid-March through history past years. What actually precipitates it is when the first tow with a number of barges can make it through Lake Pepin, because that will be the thickest part of ice on the Mississippi, is always Lake Pepin.
And who figures that out? How is there somebody in Lake City?
Our survey team, which is based out of Fountain City, Wisconsin, they in February will go out on Lake Pepin and start core drilling, and they'll drill the ice and they'll take measurements of how thick it is. And then they report that to the industry, towing industry, and then they make their decision on when to come up based on the thickness of that ice.
So people come up versus go downriver?
Correct. The towing industry, typically starting in the spring, is coming from St. Louis. It's St. Louis to St. Paul.
I bet it's so exciting, though.
It's always fun to start up a new season.
So you mentioned some words that I thought I knew what they meant, but before we went in the air, you had to re-clarify. So can you do that again for our listeners? So when I think of a big, giant boat, slow-moving boat, that's ship or whatever, that's coming through the lock and dam or going, you know, through on the Mississippi River, I referred to it as a barge, but it's actually a series of, that's called a tow. It's a series of barges. Can you explain, please?
Well, that's typically what we call it. Well, it'll be, say, a northbound tow, meaning it's coming from St. Paul. And what that would entail is a tow boat with a number of barges. And typically, coming from St. Louis, it's generally about 12 barges. That's the average. And they'll all be strung together with wire cable, and the tow boat will be pushing it. And we call that a tow, but you're thinking of, I know you were thinking of the individual barges, and that's just one little part of that tow.
So you mentioned it's a flotilla of barges, which make up a tow.
Correct.
Okay. Boy, I'm learning a lot. How about you, Nick? Did you already know all this?
I'm kind of familiar with it just based on my time in the Corps and my history prior to that.
Well, I think it's so fascinating. So could we please get back to the whole drilling thing? How does that work?
Drilling, they're just drilling to see the thickness of the ice.
Okay. Boy, that's kind of dangerous, though. What if it's not very thick? How do you get out there and drill?
Well, they're in an airboat.
Oh, okay.
So they're safe.
So this is done in when? In the first part of March, did you say?
Yeah, February is usually when they start. And they will perhaps do it every 2 weeks to begin with, and then maybe every week as it gets closer to, as the ice gets thinner, they'll probably start doing it once a week to update the towing industry more often.
That information then is given to St. Louis, or how does that work? And then do they say it's time, or do you have to put something through to kind of break up the ice, or does one of your big tows coming through break it up?
The first tow coming through will break it up, and they can get through 10 to 12 inches of ice, the thickness.
Wow. That'll be exciting then when that comes through. And I got to tell you, as somebody that lives on the river, you know, like we do in Hastings, it always is fun to see traffic on the river. And it's a sign that, you know, it's a new season. So what do you have planned for the lock and dam number two? Do you think that we're going to have an opportunity to get close to it as the public? Because I know that, you know, you've had open houses in the past, or because of COVID, what's going on?
Well, that's a good question for this year. I know last year we could not have an open house because of COVID, and I don't know how that'll play out this summer. It depends a lot of how the vaccine's coming out. So I think we'll just have to wait and see on that, whether we have an open house or not.
Well, please keep us posted on that, because that's always such
Well, we do have our public observation decks, and a lot of people do come down and just observe the tows as they come and go.
So we can still do that?
Correct.
Oh, I love it. Nick, let's talk about what your duties are as the project manager with the St. Paul District. What exactly does that mean, please?
Well, so essentially, the Army Corps of Engineers gets project permissions through its headquarters and sometimes through authorization through Congress. So what typically happens is that every year operations get some money to maintain that 9-foot navigation channel. I work in a few different areas, but one of the things I do is I work with the locks and dams and try to update the miter gate program and the anchorages program. And what I typically do during that is, I'll receive a team of engineers and specialists within the Corps, and we get together. We come up with some designs of different aspects of the locks and dams, in this case, both miter gates and anchorages, and we put them through fabrication and install. And basically what I'm tasked with is making sure that we stay on money and on time while delivering that product.
So this is something obviously that's been in the works for a long time for Lock and Dam number 2. How far up or down the river do you go with your St. Paul district? And do you have anything else in the works?
Yeah, so we go all the way down to Lock and Dam 10. And so we have the miter gates at Lock and Dam 2 being installed this summer after the anchorages are done. And then we also have the gates for Lock and Dams 5A, 8, and 10 currently being fabricated. And we are currently working on the new anchorage design for those locks as well. And then after these contracts are awarded, we'll move on to more locks, the final three, which will be 3, 4, and 5. We'll design those gates and go ahead and proceed with those anchorages to make sure that the locks function properly.
I apologize. I don't know where all the lock and dams are. Might you tell us, please?
Yeah. Would you like each one individually?
I would. Yes, please.
I can help you with that if you'd like, Nick.
Oh, yeah, Brian. That would be great if you could do it a little bit faster than I.
So right below us is Lot 3, and that is just upstream of Red Wing. It's right next to the nuclear power plant. And then the next lock is Lock 4, and that's located in Alma, Wisconsin. And then the next lock is Lock 5, which is near Minnesota City on the Minnesota side. It's just approximately 10 miles north of Winona. And then you have Lock 5A, which is in Fountain City, Wisconsin, which is right across from Winona. And then you have Lock 6, which is located in Trempealeau, Wisconsin. And then you have Lock 7, which is located in Dresbach, Minnesota, which is right across from La Crosse, Wisconsin. And then you have Lock 8, which is right down by Genoa, Wisconsin. And then you go down to Lock 9, which is right by Lynxville, Wisconsin. And then you go down to Lot 10, which is in Guttenberg, Iowa.
Wow. So the St. Paul District covers all of that. That's pretty important. So you mentioned that a lot of the traffic goes from St. Louis to St. Paul and back. What would you say is one of the busiest locks and dams? And I know that, you know, some of them probably get a lot of use with recreational boats as well. Where do we stand at Lock and Dam number 2 as far as busyness?
Oh, we're probably right in the middle. Lock 3 right below us is probably the busiest for pleasure craft. They get a lot of traffic because it's right by Treasure Island Casino. And then it's also people going to the St. Croix River. So they get a lot of traffic. I believe down by Lock 10, they get a lot, I think, more tow traffic just because they're farther south.
What are some of the other things that you would like us to know about Lock and Dam number 2? And I'll ask that to you, Brian.
Well, I think our claim is that once that first tow goes through Lock 2 coming from St. Louis, that's sort of considered the official start of the navigation season, because that means that tow is actually going to make it up to St. Paul, because we're the first lock between St. Paul. So once they get through us, the next stop is the harbor up in St. Paul.
So this is better than seeing the first robin. This is the sign of spring, right?
When that first tow boat gets up here, yep.
And how big are some of the tows that go through, please?
Well, the largest we'll see is a 15 barge tow, and that will be, it'll be about 1,200 feet long, where they'll have to break it apart in order to lock it through.
Oh, they do? Okay. And what is, do they just float different parts of it through then?
We secure it on our walls. We'll take approximately half of it up the first time. We'll lock it up, and then we pull it out with a winch and tie it off on our wall, and then we go down and get the second half.
And how long does that take?
Typically, if you have to break a tow apart, it's a two-hour process.
Wow. So how far in advance do you know when tows are coming?
Well, now they all have GPS, so we're actually tracking them on Google Earth. So we know right where they are almost all of the time.
Do you have to play traffic cop every once in a while, or is that up to, do they have a manifest they follow? What if one's coming south and one's going north? How does that work?
It's typically first come, first serve, and We communicate with them with a marine radio, and we'll just simply tell them, well, we have one right now, and you'll be next. But everybody understands the system, so it works.
And is it true that the bend for the Mississippi River close to Lock and Dam is one of the toughest on the whole river?
Yes, the one upstream of us is. And it's being improved as we speak. This has been an ongoing project.
And how do you do that? Do you dredge it out or something?
Dredge it out and add riprap, large rocks, to widen the channel and to sort of direct the flow.
And have you ever had issues, Brian, that somebody crashed into you?
We have.
It must be so slow, and it's like, oh, that's going to happen. You know what I mean? It's not like a car crash where it must happen so fast.
It's true. You're right.
Ugh.
But it happens, unfortunately.
And then what? We don't even know about it?
No, you don't. I've never had any damage to the point where it actually closed us.
Oh, that must be a scary feeling, though. If you're kind of a sitting duck, watching this big giant thing coming your way.
You don't worry about it. I mean, the pilots on there are very skilled. It's not that common that it happens, so I don't want you to give you that impression.
No, I'm not getting that impression. Well, it's just fascinating, and I'm so grateful that the two of you called to tell us about Lock and Dam number 2 and really the whole Mississippi channel of the St. Paul District. Very, very interesting. And it, like I said, it always is a sign of spring when we see traffic on the river. And we wish you well with finishing up these construction projects. And if you do have an open house, please do let us know.
Definitely.
Is there anything else either of you want to tell our listeners?
Sure. I just always like to remind people to be careful around the locks and dams and to always have a life jacket.
Oh, great advice. We want to thank our guest today, Brian Gray. He is the lock master at Lock and Dam number 2 in Hastings. And we also want to thank Nick Castellane. He is the project manager with the St. Paul District of the Army Corps of Engineers. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.